eating Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week we have a bunch of movies that we're going to sort of kind of talk about, because Hollywood, it's August, and Hollywood doesn't like to screen movies that come out in August, because they're terrified of people like us. That we might say, this movie's terrible, don't go see it.
Hello, August.
So the August releases, only one of which has been screened, include Kick-Ass 2, Lee Daniels Presents Lee Daniels the Butler, not to be confused with the 1916 short film, The Butler, from Warner Brothers, Paranoia, Jobs. We also have some news and listener feedback.
We've got plenty of stuff to talk about.
Lots of stuff.
We don't have a lot of movies to talk about. We got plenty of other stuff.
That's right. And DVDs and Blu-rays. So if you want to get a hold of us before we start going into all this stuff that we got to talk about, fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You want to send us an email. You can reach us on voicemail by calling 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com to catch us on the internet. And you can go to facebook.com/FGATM and reach us that way. Or you can yell at me on Twitter at twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
And I'm Katie K. Reviews.
That's right. So, Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about the box office. Will we correct? Yes, but kind of both.
Yeah, kind of.
technically, Kristen wins the horse race.
Woo!
Because you had said, what, $28 million for Elysium?
That's what I said.
Came in very close.
At least that's what you wrote down.
$30 million. You saw me write it down.
I don't know. It seems about right.
I have witnesses. But yeah, it came in with $30 million, which is kind of soft.
Yeah.
It's kind of soft, considering District 9, I think, made $37 million with its first bow, almost the exact same week, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that also came out in August.
August, but that was 4 years ago, and this one's $30 million. But part of that could be because of the reviews.
It could be.
And not that...
American critics, we hate everything.
Well, yeah, not that the critics were the cause of it. It's just that the critics revealed that the movie wasn't as good as it could have been.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's really, I think, what sometimes Hollywood worries about. Not that critics are going to be mean, but that critics are going to kind of catch them in what they're doing.
Making
movies that just aren't as good.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then We're the Millers actually came in with a really good...
Yeah.
$26 million for the... That almost beat Elysium, actually.
I know. It's pretty impressive, really.
And then $38 million for the 5-day, which is... I mean, that's
it's not insane, huge.
But that's, yeah.
For a movie like that, yeah.
And it opened on Wednesday. Cause they normally do that with, like, Disney movies and other things. And the Disney movie, though, Planes, came in with $22 million, and that's why I can declare victory.
Right, yeah.
Because I said $23 million. Even though it didn't win that weekend, I was pretty close.
Thank you very much.
You may worship me, box office minions.
Box office minions.
That's what I'm calling them from now on.
There you go. I like to call them our listeners.
Well, that too. That too. We love you. And then there's Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, which kind of fell flat. Got all wet in the Sea of Monsters.
Nice.
$14 million for the 3-day, $23 million for the 5-day. So basically, Planes made almost as much money in 3 days as Percy Jackson made in 5.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get Percy Jackson and the Great White Underpants of the North, whatever the third movie
is. I was really looking forward to that one, actually.
I hear it's very artistic.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going down the line, Two Guns, Smurfs, Wolverine, bloop, 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 down. And, Grown Ups 2 is still in the top 10 with 124.
How does that happen?
People, seriously. Shame on you.
Don't you have anything better to do?
Grown Ups 2?
Brush your cat. Seriously.
Brush your cat with your toothbrush is more important than Grown Ups 2.
Mow your lawn with scissors.
Mow my lawn with scissors. It's not really a lawn anymore.
My mom had a neighbor who did that when she was a kid. Yeah.
Like the entire lawn?
Yeah, she was really picky. Mm-hmm. She cut the whole lawn with scissors.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that take?
I don't know, but she didn't have anything else to do. She was a crazy old lady.
I'm completely fascinated by this.
I don't know. That's just one of those little stories from my mom growing up.
It's amazing.
There you go.
Some interesting notes about the box office. There's some secondary stories. The Canyons...
The Canyons.
Lindsay Lohan's fantastic bow.
I tried to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did not happen because of the whole online screener thing.
Universe was conspiring against you.
It's true. Or maybe it just was trying to help me out.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think it was.
That's what I would like to think. Saving me from a Lindsay Lohan movie.
Lindsay Lohan and male porno star.
Yes.
In the canyons.
Directed by Paul Schrader, though. And that's what I was looking forward to. I'm like, it's Paul Schrader.
It's like Francis Ford Coppola making a crappy horror movie. Like
a crappy movie with Amanda Bynes.
So, yeah, that has made $31,000 so far.
Wow.
Most people make more than $31,000 in a year. And this movie couldn't even do that in, like, a weekend, which is huge for a movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Lindsay Lohan.
So much for that comeback.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Sorry about that.
You didn't think it could get worse than Liz and Dick. And it did.
People actually saw that out of morbid curiosity.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. Planes is the third family film this summer to open below $25 million after Smurfs 2 and Turbo. And those both opened on Wednesday, so they kind of skewed box office results.
Still, that's a crazy number.
Yeah.
I mean, usually during the summer, the kids' movies are huge.
Yeah. Well, I think what it is we have more in the marketplace now.
That's true, yeah.
Because you still had Monsters University and Despicable Me.
Right.
Both are doing extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
See, back, you know, 5, 10 years ago, you'd only get, like, a couple of these out.
Right.
You know, you
every
a DreamWorks
year.
And a Pixar. Yeah,
yeah,
every year. Now, I think they're oversaturating the market. You also had Epic, which was an early summer release.
Yep.
So, yeah, we may be seeing the waning edge of these computer-generated cartoon movies.
You think maybe won't have to watch Smurfs 3?
Oh, God.
Oh.
I don't know. Speaking of Smurfs, Smurfs 2 led the foreign markets with like $34.5 million, though it's considerably off from the previous film, and that's where it made the lion's share of
right.
the first film's profits.
Yeah, 34 is not a lot.
No.
Considering.
No. And I don't think it's going to have the legs that say like Pacific Rim. That thorn in your side.
Pacific Rim, which I saw did not do well in Japan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's doing well in Korea.
Yeah, apparently in Japan
China.
They didn't love it.
Well,
so.
What do you know? Oh, and the interesting thing, The Lone Ranger, another movie that's kind of notorious for having some low box office. It's only made $108 million foreign, which isn't bad for a movie unless the movie costs twice as much.
Right.
And so I guess, you know what, hey, European critics, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you.
European critics are just as mean as we are.
They're just as stupid, too.
Also, yes.
Maybe Harvey Weinstein will cut Snowpiercer for them.
Nice.
Now You See Me. This is the one that I just put this on there because I think it's fascinating.
This blows my mind.
$256 million worldwide.
I barely remember that movie.
I thought it was a fun movie.
It was okay, but I barely remember it.
Yeah.
I mean, it came out a while ago, and it wasn't that memorable of a movie.
But it kind of came and went, but you know what? It just kind of stuck around.
Yeah.
This is the kind of movie that when you read about box office history, like back in the 70s and 80s, you'd get these movies that would not win the box office, but they'd just be kind of like the steady burn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what this is. You see this with Oscar titles all the time. Silver Lining Playbook
yeah.
did this.
That movie was out for like 6 months.
Yeah. So it's kind of neat to see that now and then.
It's so weird.
It's weird.
Especially with a movie like this one. Because who knew?
Yeah. But here we go. All right. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's hit a couple news stories really quick before we move on to the next segment. We've got about a minute here. These are two that we kind of missed earlier. So let's talk about them. The first one is someone's, and this was, I think, your way of saying it. Someone's actually suing to stay involved in the Dumb and Dumber sequel.
Yes. A couple of producers from the original movie are suing to be involved in the latest one.
That's amazing.
Yes.
But
that's sad.
That's because Jim Carrey's involved.
It's true.
I don't think that they would have, you know, like Eric Christian Olsen was reprising his role as Lloyd.
They wouldn't really care so much. They'd be like, yeah, it's okay.
That's
go ahead.
Guy. So that's amazing that they're doing that. That's Jim Carrey's. I was looking at his filmography because I was on a podcast this week.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of his last ditch effort of like, I need to make money.
Yeah,
I'm still a star.
Yeah. Well, we do have one movie with him in this week.
That's true.
So
what about this this other one? Somebody else is involved in
Beverly Hills Cop 4.
What?
Yes, hitting theaters. It was supposed to be direct to TV, but now Eddie Murphy is involved and it is going to theaters.
Wow. What's amazing about this is can you even remember when Beverly Hills Cop 3 came out?
No.
Like what, 1994 or something?
I have no idea.
That's ridiculous.
It was forever ago.
Shame on you. Eddie Murphy, I expect this from you.
It is Eddie Murphy we're talking about here.
All right. Well, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we've got a couple more news stories, and then we're going to review a couple films.
Because we can't. It hurts.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We have a lot of news and things to talk about this week. We've got a lot of movies coming out, but
let's hit the
really
ones
much to talk about
that we haven't.
We haven't seen anything
that we weren't allowed. Well, the first one. Let's talk about the one that we just haven't seen. Because
let's just go for it.
All right, it is Jobs, in which Ashton Kutcher stars as Apple computer pioneer Steve Jobs. That's all I've got for you, people.
That's what you get.
There we go.
Steve, it takes guts to drop out like you did.
Higher education comes at the expense of experience.
Boss!
What are you working on?
It's a computer terminal that hooks up to the TV for the display.
Is this everything?
Startup.
I think we should start with around 90 grand.
Could you repeat that?
If you'll have me aboard.
If we're going to do this thing, we need to come up with a name. Apple. That is so much better than phaser beam computers.
All right. This movie, it is not getting good reviews.
No.
They did not show it to us, but is it open world?
And didn't they bump it too?
Yeah,
it was supposed to come out earlier, and they're like, we'll put it out in August. And they're like, that says a lot.
Yeah, when you move it to August or January, you know, when you move it to those locations, that's bad.
People hate this movie. We're putting it somewhere where nobody cares.
Well, and the other thing is, when did he die? When did Steve Jobs die? It was like a year and a half ago? It wasn't very long ago.
No, within the last couple of years.
Yeah. And I remember when they said, we're going to do a biopic on him. I'm like, not that it's too soon.
But, you know.
But it
let it go for a little while.
It felt like they were trying to capitalize on the currency of a news story.
Yeah, totally.
And that, I think, is...
And then they put Ashton Kutcher in it.
Yeah, and nothing
I'm just
wrong
saying.
With Ashton Kutcher.
Well...
But he's not very Steve Jobs-ish.
He's still Ashton Kutcher.
I think they could have had somebody else. And the other thing... Here's the other problem with Ashton Kutcher. From a popularity standpoint, he kind of plays Steve Jobs on 2.5 Men now. Because he plays a computer genius who started a company and sold it for $1 billion or some dollars.
Well, maybe they're doing that on purpose then. It's, you know, maybe. Typecasting or something.
That's possible. But we didn't see it. It's Open Road, I think, is doing the movie, releasing it.
I think so.
And Open Road's a smaller company, so they don't screen their stuff in as many cities. So I don't know whether they're trying to hide it from certain critics or they just don't have the budget to screen it for people.
Whatever the case, we did not see it.
It's in the 30% of Rotten Tomatoes. That is not good.
Those few people who did see it don't love it.
Yeah. The general consensus is, while it has its heart in the right place, it's just not a very smart movie. I saw somebody blurb it and say, it needs a trip to the Genius store. The Genius.
Nice.
What is it? The Genius desk or...
I don't know.
I don't buy Apple stuff.
I don't either.
Way too expensive for a film critic on my salary. Holy cow. I got an iPhone. That's as far as I'll go.
I don't even have that. Yeah. I'm all about Android.
Ah.
It works for me.
This segment sponsored by Android.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, this one gets a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for us.
Yes.
I'm not stampeding out to see it because no one's saying it's good. Well, there's somebody saying it's good. There's 36%
of critics.
There's
a couple of people who liked it.
That are like, it's okay.
All right.
Preemptive suck. Next movie. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Now we'll do the next one.
Listening to Fat Guys, not so much the movies this week.
Yeah, Fat Guys outside of the movies. The next one is Paranoia.
Yes. This corporate espionage thriller finds Liam Hemsworth caught in the middle of a dangerous power struggle between Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford.
You are going to work for my competition.
This is stealing trade secrets.
This is the opportunity you have been waiting for.
Because you want to know how the other half lives.
Morning. We're reinventing you.
Let it go.
You have to fit in to get in.
You remind me of Wyatt. I knew he'd be my competition someday. I'm on the eve of a revolution, and it's something you're never going to be able to duplicate.
Is that so?
First of all, this is a great cast, actually, with the exception of Liam Hemsworth.
It is. Well, you know, and that's the thing. You put Liam Hemsworth in the main role, and then, you know, everybody else is kind of just hovering around him.
I think there's this perception that he's a big star. He's not.
Not quite yet. Not so much.
He's Thor's not adopted brother. Because if you say he's Thor's brother, you're going to think Loki.
Right.
But he's not. He's
just his little brother.
He's the secondary minor love interest in the Hunger Games, for those who don't know who he is. He's also
engaged to Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. But then again, who cares about her?
No.
She was in the... I dreamed about Miley Cyrus doing something.
I don't even want to hear about that.
No, it's not that.
Because I can only imagine where this is going to go.
Liam Hemsworth was nowhere near this movie. So anyways, I got a real Cold Light of Day feel from this trailer.
Yeah.
If you don't remember that movie, that came out in September last year and was terrible and bombed.
And also nobody saw it.
And it had a great cast too, because it had like Bruce Willis and Sigourney Weaver in it.
Oh,
it had
yeah.
Superman in it before he was Superman.
Nice.
Here's the interesting thing about Paranoia.
Is there something interesting about this?
Well, no, they screened it. It was so bad. Not only did they not screen it, they went farther. They screened it, but wouldn't allow press to see it.
Right.
It's a bad enough warning sign if they just don't screen it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they screen it but won't allow press anywhere near the movie, that's a really bad sign. I don't think it's screened anywhere. It doesn't have a Rotten Tomato score.
Hmm.
Which means no one's seen it. Which means no one wants anybody to see it. Which means it probably
sucks. We would
rather
you don't know.
It sucks hard.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Preemptively and all.
We can't even talk about what consensus is at this point because...
Nobody's seen it.
Nobody's seeing it. And what's hilarious is, as we're the Magical Studio of the Sky, you had a book.
Yeah.
Somehow you were sent the book. I didn't realize this was a book first.
Apparently it was because I got it last week and I looked at it and I was like, huh. This is a movie. That's really strange. When does that come out? Oh, next week. I didn't know.
That's just
so amazing. I didn't really have time to read the book before the movie came out, because it takes time to cover books.
Books. So, you have to read.
Yeah, and then I've got a little bit of a, buffer zone. So, yeah, I wouldn't have been able to cover it for a while anyway. So, yeah.
It reminds me of when I got sent during award season. It was a for award consideration thing, but I was sent Life of Pi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, a day and a half before we saw it.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
I'll give it a try, but holy cats, I'm not going to have a chance to read that in time. As opposed to, like, City of Bones, The Mortal Instruments, which comes out next week. I got sent that... Somehow, Sony sent me those. They're not screening that movie.
No.
They sent me the books. Like,
well,
the whole
set.
Like, this box set.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, thank you.
But
that's
I don't
awesome.
Even read.
But yeah, I have a wife and she's a first grade teacher, so she reads a lot of juvenile literature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first graders aren't reading that, but I have
probably
a son.
Probably not so much.
I have a son who's 12, so it's kind of cool to have, but yeah. I'm like, I'm not reading 5 books by August.
No.
So here we are again, Paranoia.
Yeah.
Preemptive suck, pretty much from everybody. Let's talk about something else that's really is a sucky thing.
Speaking of suck.
Apparently, Jaws. There's rumors that Jaws is being worked on to be rebooted. Jaws.
Oh.
Now, here's what's amazing about this. It comes out of a casting call.
It's going to be remade to be like Piranha 3D.
Yeah. Well, the thing
Jaws
is,
3D.
Piranha 3D was okay. Well, they did Jaws 3D.
I know.
Yeah, that was a good movie. For like 1983.
Yeah.
But Piranha 3D, it's not that Piranha was some classic. That
well, that's the thing.
It was already a Jaws knockoff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Jaws, it comes from a crew call or say, we're looking for all levels of production, which is a bad idea to just remake Jaws.
Yeah.
Because they already made sequels that kind of remade Jaws.
It's true.
And they got worse.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Who knows what they'll do with it now?
Hollywood.
That's just sad.
Your geniuses.
It's sad.
All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, more movies and one that we actually saw.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We haven't seen any movies this week.
We do. There is one somewhere.
There is one. It's coming yet.
You snuck it in.
But in the meantime, let's talk about another movie that we haven't seen, shall
yes,
we?
Yes, exactly. Hollywood, what are you doing? And this is one we should have seen, seriously.
Yes, this one we should have seen. We've been talking about it long enough.
Yeah.
We really should have seen it, but I think, maybe Harvey Weinstein's just afraid of you. I think
he
that's
is.
It.
I should have an eating contest with Harvey Weinstein.
Nice.
Because that would actually be like that. He could actually win that.
He might. You never know. You did do it professionally for a while, though.
I did.
So you never know.
Yeah.
Anyway, The next one is...
We're going to eat baby seals, see who wins.
Nice. Lee Daniels, the butler. Mm. Harvey Weinstein's latest controversy stars Forrest Whitaker as a White House butler who gets to witness history in the making.
Are you political, Mr. Gaines?
No, sir.
Good. We have no tolerance for politics at the White House.
I'm Cecil Gaines. I'm the new butler.
You hear nothing, you see nothing. You only serve.
You know he got that job himself. The White House called him. He didn't call the White House.
I want to hear all the stories.
I don't know how many stories you're going to hear, because they done swore him to some kind of secret code. I'm so proud of you. Everything you are and everything you have is because of that butler.
Okay. And it also has Oprah Winfrey.
I know, that's what everyone wants to, like,
Oprah Winfrey's in this movie.
Back in movies. I'm like, really? Why do we? I mean, I get it. She's kind of a big deal.
But
it's not like she was, you know, it'd be like Whoopi Goldberg. Like, she did this, she did Ghost and Sister Act in the 90s, uh-huh. And she suddenly came back and did a big movie. You'd be like, oh, but she, like, was always, Oprah was always, like, she was, like, a side part in The Color Purple.
Right. And
what else?
Here's
the thing with Lee Daniels' Butler. I'm sure it's a fine movie. It's got a decent
Rotten Tomatoes. You're sure it's a fine movie.
And, but it does, it feels so deliberately award-baity to me.
Oh, yeah. This is the guy who made Precious.
Yeah.
And we're shooting for that again.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Which is not, he's not very subtle.
No.
Precious was a little bit heavy-handed.
Did it maybe bean you in the head with a message a few times?
Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
Now, granted, Precious was based on this novel that I'm sure it was drawn pretty much from that. So I don't know if you can blame Lee Daniels for the morose, heavy, punishing the characters that took place in that.
Yeah.
The problem with The Butler is it had so much controversy over the name of it, and it's getting decent reviews. I think the one thing I've seen is they're like, well, it's, you know, like The Help was a civil rights kind of movie that came out and came out in August and did very well.
It was in August.
But I still think it's a bit of a stretch to compare these two.
Yeah, I don't think that this one's going to be quite as big as The Help. And it doesn't seem to have the same tone as The Help.
Yeah.
Just from the feel of it. You know, The Help had a lot of fun stuff in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was lighthearted and fun at the same time as it was a civil rights kind of movie.
Yeah. What this reminds me of is Bobby. Did you see Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Where it was a big, and that was done by the Weinsteins, I believe. They released that.
Okay.
And that was one that was, like, significant to the politics and history and everything. But you didn't hear anything about it aside from the fact that you got to see Shia LaBeouf's butt.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Shia LaBeouf in The Buff.
There you go.
But the thing is with The Butler, all we've heard is the naming controversy. We know it's by the guy from Precious. It's not something that suddenly people, like, came out of Sundance. It was like, it's the Sundance hit that everybody's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Help was made and it clicked with the mainstream.
Oh, yeah.
And that worked. I don't know if this is going to, but I've not heard anybody actually talk about the movie.
No, I haven't either. In fact, it was one of those things. The whole title thing, I heard about that, and I was like, what? What is this movie you're talking about? Because I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I've never heard of this movie.
Oh, it comes out in a month? Really?
Oh, okay.
So we'll see what happens. I'm sure they're going to push this for award season. I'm sure we're going to get screeners of it. So we'll get to see it then. Thank you very much.
At some point, yeah. Thanks, Harvey.
But we'll see. I mean, the Weinsteins are notorious for putting out their movies and then abandoning the ones they don't think have a ghost chance.
It's true. So maybe we won't even see it.
Yeah. Because they'll do stuff like the movie We, or W-E.
Mm-hmm.
They had that push, but then they kind of realized, you know what? This isn't going to win anything because Madonna directed everything. And then they just went for the song. And when we got the screener on the back of it, they'll print, consider for, and normally they'll list everybody, you know. Director.
I don't think I ever got a screener of that one.
Did you not?
No.
I got one and it basically said, it didn't say best director, consideration for best director. They just knew that was out of the running. They're just like, consideration for best song by Madonna. I mean,
usually they list everything possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even if there's no chance, they will put it in there.
Even if they don't have an award, even like best key grip,
mm-hmm.
Fred Jones. He was
good
fantastic.
Job, Fred.
Anyways, another preemptive suck.
Yes.
You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about the movie we have seen.
Yay!
Boom!
Yes.
What is it?
Kick-Ass 2. Yeah. Aaron Taylor-Johnson and Chloe Moretz return as regular teens who take to the street as superheroes to battle a bitter supervillain and his evil army.
Yes.
You sound so enthusiastic.
They may wear costumes, but it isn't Halloween. They're real-life superheroes.
Me and Hit Girl were training every day. And there were more and more people joining us every night.
Colonel Stars and Stripes reporting for duty.
I try to have fun. Otherwise, what's the point?
I am going to make Kick-Ass pay for what he did to my dad.
What do you think of this movie?
Yes. I was really hoping for the best for this movie. I loved the first one.
Okay.
Loved it. I went out and bought it, which I don't normally do things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I bought it on Blu-ray. I was so excited. This is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you on that.
The first one, it was violent, and it was, you know, the action was, you know, nonstop, but it was still fun. Mm-hmm. It had a great sense of humor, and it was playful at the same time. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot going on, and there's extreme violence, but it's still funny.
Yeah.
And this one is just, it's that way a little bit in the beginning, and it tries, like, oh yeah, we're going to be funny, but then it just hits a brick wall. And it is so serious and so heavy and so Twilight movie moody.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things you want to walk out of a superhero movie going, yeah, that was awesome. And you walk out and you're like, oh.
Part of the thing that I had is I know it's based on a graphic novel series.
And from what I hear, it's actually quite true to the novel.
Except for one plot point. If you want to know what that is, you can go to the internet and find out. I'm not going to talk about that. But. It is. And it takes two of them. It takes a Hit Girl comic and Kick-Ass 2, and they kind of mash them together. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. The Hit Girl stuff, it just got very Heathers-y.
Yeah, it was.
And like, or Mean Girls-ish. And, and you know, for more a modern version of saying what I said. But that, it just seems so out of place and so unlike the character, the way she does the movie.
Yeah.
And it seemed very schizophrenic. And then on top of it, there was way too much narration in it. It just, every 5 minutes it's narrating. And that's the way comics work.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much they could have achieved without doing that. And then finally, my biggest problem is, and it's not that the violence bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
It's because violence is violence. And, you know, you can see dread and you see people's face getting blown off. And that's fine. And it's an R-rated movie. So I'm not going to, like, have a Roger Ebert rant that he had when the first movie came out.
Or a Jim Carrey rant.
Yeah. That's that. But the thing is, it didn't quite hit satire and seriousness. It didn't seem to have that balanced right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll have these things that are gloriously violent and almost and humorously violent.
Yeah.
And then they'll put in something that's relatively serious. Like the superheroes, the team of superheroes, the Justice Forever group.
Right.
There's this couple, and apparently this is right out of the comics.
Yeah.
And they're basically, because their kid was kidnapped, and they dress up as superheroes, and you're like, are we making fun of these people? Because it's a horrible story.
Yeah.
And they kind of play them as fools, but not quite. And there's at times where
it's an uncomfortable movie.
Yeah.
And I had that feeling through the whole thing. I'm like, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this.
Yeah.
It's so awkward.
And it's so violent at times. And then they're just like, we're going to be handcuffing people. I'm like, you slaughtered like 10 people.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and this bothered me about the first movie a little bit, where they're like, well, this is what really would happen if superheroes. And I was like, no, it's not. Because a 12-year-old girl is not going to be able to slaughter like 50 drug dealers with a butterfly.
Probably not. No.
And this one, but they keep reminding, like, there's a scene where Chloe Moretz says to Aaron, whatever his name is.
Whatever his name is now.
And she's like, this is real life. This isn't a movie. And I'm like, it's totally a movie.
Yeah. It's a movie.
Final grade?
Kind of sucks.
I agree with you. It kind of sucks. We got to move on. Next, we got DVD Roundup. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Christian Dreyer Kramer. Kevin Carr.
Hello.
We're
still feeling a little depressed.
Yeah. We were talking during the break about other things about Kick-Ass 2 that were spoilers, so we can talk about them here, but yeah, we felt bad after leaving the movie.
The more we think about it, the more depressed we are.
Yeah. You don't want to go to a movie to feel like...
No. Seriously, I went home feeling depressed after watching it. I did. I was like,
Well, this will pick you up.
Okay.
We got a listener question from Red State Gabe, who apparently this had arisen with a conversation he was having with a guy named Adam Bilbrey, I think is how you say his name. He's a website called The Modern Critic. And it's Red State Gabe thought he'd forward this on to me through Facebook. So here we go. I'm just going to read it. And this is actually in regards to We're the Millers.
Okay.
Some issues that happened in that movie with the rating. Why the double standard when labeling just male nudity as, quote, graphic nudity, when female nudity just gets nudity? Why do you and or KDK feel they have to label male nudity, specifically full frontal male nudity, as graphic nudity? I understand it's not the norm, but the sexes should be equal, and there's something going or is there something going on with the MPAA? First of all, there's always something going on with
the
MPAA.
Well, yeah. I totally agree, though. I mean, this isn't something that is a new discussion. It's, you know, every time there's nudity in a movie, people talk about it again.
Yeah.
You know, because there is full frontal female nudity all the time.
Yeah.
It's quite often. I mean, and when it's a male, it is a huge thing. It is news. It's major. Everybody talks about it. And it's like, women are naked in movies all the time.
Here's how I take it. Whenever you see in the MPAA's rating, they say it has this, 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 and this, and graphic nudity, that means you're going to see some guy's junk. That does not mean you're going to see somebody's butt. And that does not mean you're just going to see a woman's chest. You see topless women all the time. The difference is when they label it as graphic nudity is a guy's junk. I think there's a bit of a double standard going on in the MPAA.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is let's just say, how do I say this delicately on the radio? The location of what is considered graphic nudity is more exposed on a male. Just put it that way. It's easier to see. And when you think about the full frontal, full on, when you see the genitalia of a woman, that's actually relatively rare to see the what makes her a woman a woman.
Nice.
As opposed to just nothing.
Well, I don't know. We've seen it an awful lot lately.
Well, Trance has it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember the last movie where I actually saw that. Again, I'm
Flight.
Being delicate. Flight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's an opening scene.
That.
Yeah, you'll have to research it. I am pretty sure that, you know, it's pretty out there in the opening scene.
But is it not then the decorative, shall we say? I don't know. I'm
decorative.
Dancing around this.
Ooh, okay. I'm not entirely sure what you mean by decorative.
If you go back to, you don't get very many Sharon Stone from Basic Instinct shots.
No.
That's what I'm saying. And you get, whereas like We're the Millers, when they show this guy, it's there. And it's right there. Now, it might be a prosthetic because it's a spider bite. Go see the movie. You'll understand.
Okay, yeah.
But you saw American Reunion.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the whole shebang.
Yeah.
The whole enchilada.
Yes.
The enchilada is not seen elsewhere, even with the
this is a fun discussion.
The quite
Thanks,
gratuitous
State,
nude scene that later happens with a woman in, with a girl in, well,
it,
she's
it's
in
kind of fun to watch you squirm like this. Yeah. This is awesome. This totally makes my day.
But that's my point is I think that's how they're labeling it. But
okay,
but you're right.
I can see that.
I think that if they were to do a Sharon Stone shot and they were to label it, I think they probably would say graphic nudity because of the specific parts that it
Yeah, I guess it depends on the extremes of it, perhaps.
I want to now go back and look at what Trance's rating was, whether it actually clarified, because you do see it in Trance. So if it said graphic nudity, but there is a double standard.
It is, yeah. It is definitely more frequent with women.
Yeah.
Way more frequent.
So if you get partial nudity, oftentimes usually means the caboose or side boob, for lack of a better term. And then nudity would be usually breasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're seeing other things but again, it's R-rated movie. It says graphic nudity. You're going to see that. But also here's the other thing. And this is, let's just say the when you're talking the whole enchilada, it's not an excited enchilada. Let's just put it that way. And you don't really ever, with the exception of Bruno, was the only time I actually remember seeing that.
Yeah, no, you never see that.
You never see that. Mm-mm. So again, and here's the other thing. Male nudity is often, especially that area, the geographic location.
Yeah.
Male nudity is often played off as comedy and funny.
Definitely, yeah.
And you really don't see that area geographically played off as comedy on a woman. So there's a little bit different.
Okay, yeah.
There we go. We're now off the air on every station that we're on.
Well, you know, whatever the case, I enjoyed this discussion because it was fun to watch you try to come up with things to say. It was awesome.
Let's move
on. This is the most fun I've had doing this show in a long time.
Oh,
that was
heavens.
Great.
let's move on to the next segment. Let's talk about box office predictions. What do you think is going to win the weekend?
I'm going to give it to Kick-Ass 2 this weekend.
What's your number?
I'm going to say $20 million. Which is right around what the original made.
Yeah, I am actually going to say I'm going to go out on a limb and say The Butler.
Okay.
And I'm going to say $20 million for The Butler.
Okay.
And the only reason for that is because the R rating on Kick-Ass 2 and the sort of bizarre buzz that comes out of it.
It's true.
So,
but anyway. People seemed really excited to see it when we went to the screening. So
that's true.
I'll give them that much.
But those
you never
free
know.
Screenings are insane, people.
Well,
there are people that are
some
like,
more insane than others.
Some people are excited to get, like, you know, a hangnail.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to the final segment, which we like to call the world famous
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw.
Woo.
We only got a couple minutes here because we spent so much time talking about enchiladas earlier. We've got.
Kind of makes me want a Taco Bell for lunch.
Olympus Has Fallen is out. This is the return of the pre-White House Down taking of the White House. Did you end up seeing this?
I didn't. No.
Oh, okay.
I've heard it's spectacular.
It's violent and crazy, and it did about the same box office, I think, as White House Down.
Yeah, about that.
But it cost a lot less money to make.
Right.
It's worth checking out. It's not bad. It's an R-rated version. That's pretty hardcore at times.
Okay.
The Mindy Project, Season 1. This is a neat little show. I was actually recommending to this.
Yeah, we were just talking about it before the show.
This is a neat little single-camera comedy with Mindy Kaling from The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And you really get to see her wit. You get to see the fact that she is more than... Because she wrote a lot of The Office, and you really see that come out.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a great job in the show. It's a very charming... It's kind of like New Girl, if you watch New Girl.
Okay.
In that kind of flavor of it. It's a neat little sort of, you know, single girl dealing with life in the city kind of thing. Not an original concept, but it's got great characters.
Cool.
And she's fantastic in it. Emperor, which is about the sort of reconstruction in post-World War II Japan.
Yes.
With
yep.
Tommy Lee Jones as General Douglas MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
There's The Company You Keep. You saw that!
I did. Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I throw that to Kristen, and she's like, not a lot to say about that movie.
Yeah, you know, it was a great idea, and the cast is great, but the end is such a mess.
Ugh.
Such a mess.
Robert Redford's getting senile. Hatchet 3 is out. We talked about that not too long ago.
Hatchet 3.
Bloody movie. Probably about as bloody as Kick-Ass.
There you go.
So. Once Upon a Time, Season 2. Did you get a chance to watch those?
I did. I wasn't thrilled about it.
I'm not a big fan of that
show. I don't know. People talk about how awesome the show is, and I'm not buying it because and the second season, it just keeps getting more and more bizarre. And they keep throwing all the Disney princesses in it. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You're owned by Disney.
But Mulan is not a fairy tale.
No. There are a lot of things. They go through The Wizard of Oz, and they go into, you know, a bunch of stuff like that. And it's like, but that doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit in the same world. Stop confusing me. Stop forcing all of these fairy tales.
Yeah. And then finally, there's Girls Season 2. Which
already?
Yeah.
Didn't they just release Season 1, like, a month ago?
I don't know. I never What's got into with... this show.
I no, watched, I didn't like, either.
I watched the first episode, and I'm like,
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard.
And it's like, I mean, people are like, oh, you hate women. I'm like, no, I just was bored.
Yeah.
So it's not because Lian Dunham unattractive. It's fine.
Whatever.
It's just boring. Don't make it entertaining, at least. All right. The singer of the week is The Big Wedding. Great cast. Terrible film. Robert De Niro, Susan Sarandon, a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah, the cast is amazing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it's a movie that's made about weddings that obviously no one's ever been to a wedding
before. Nice.
Because they get stuff completely wrong. Anyways, review wrap up. Kick-Ass 2, we both said.
Kind of sucks.
And then the rest, Lee Daniels, The Butler, Paranoia, and Jobs.
Preemptive suck.
All right, we will talk to you next week when we talk about The Mortal Instrument, City of Bones, The World's End, and You're Next.
See ya.